has been rated PC for politically correct.
Welcome into the Larry Elder Show once again on the Salem Radio Network. My name is Bob France, sitting in for the Sage of South Central, who's giving a speech down in H-Town, Houston, for the uninformed. And I'm so glad to be with you. Love it. Love it, love it, love it. Any opportunity I get to spend with the Larry Elder audience, I relish because I learn as much as I teach to this particular audience. So thanks for being with us. We all learned a lot today about what the Democrat Party really stands for as we come to you live from the painfreereliefactor.com studios. I can get that out today. We know what they're about. They're about impeaching a president because they told their supporters they would impeach the president. Do you remember the videos and the pictures of the liberal Democrats on their knees, wearing their Hillary buttons and Hillary hats on election night, November 8th, 2016, once they realized that President Trump was going to get to the magic number of electoral votes and that Hillary Clinton was not going to be their president? Do you remember the videos and pictures of them screaming at the sky? In just outrage and terror and sadness and anguish and agony. One of them screaming and then looking and realizing somebody had a camera on her and just middle fingering the camera, right? You remember the anguish and the outrage that they were suffering at the time? Well, what happened at that moment in time was liberal Democrat politicians, particularly congressional members, told them to assuage their grief. Don't worry, we're going to get rid of him. Don't worry that Hillary didn't win. He's not going to last. We're going to impeach him. All right? Now, that was a promise that was made by Democratic politicians right on the spot. I would like to say that's where impeachment began, but I'd be lying. Because we have in the record evidence of the FBI collaborating and coordinating as part of the deep state to get rid of Donald Trump even before Donald Trump won. Well, how can you impeach? How can you make plans to impeach somebody when the election hasn't happened yet, right? And we know the answer to that. Because Peter Strzok, the high-ranking FBI intelligence officer, texting to his paramour, his lover, FBI attorney Lisa Page, when she was freaking out, he's not going to win, is he? He's not really going to win, is he? And Peter Strzok responded, don't worry, he won't win. But even if he does, we'll have an insurance plan. I'm paraphrasing, but that was the words. Those were the words, insurance plan. Which means we will work together with the Democrats, the DNC, members of the Democrat House, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, to impeach the president. So this has been in motion for a very long time. No matter what they tell you today, no matter what Nancy Pelosi said when she announced the impeachment inquiry in the public testimony that would begin today, she said this isn't something that we would wish for. This isn't something we wanted. Nobody came here wanting to impeach Donald Trump. Really? You did see the Washington Post, January 20th, 2017, Inauguration Day. Headline, the campaign to impeach President Trump has begun. The day of the inauguration. That's how long this has been in motion. This is about a coup d'etat, nothing more, nothing less. And everything else you hear from that chamber in that intelligence committee hearing over the course of the next several days should just be treated with essentially ignored. Because it's not about the Ukraine phone call. It's not about Ukrainian aid. It's not about Ukrainian investigations of the Bidens. This is what they have found because Russia failed. The Russian narrative proved false. There was no collusion. There was no obstruction. The only people who colluded with Russians in the entire 2016 affair were the Democrats. As the DNC, along with Hillary Clinton's campaign and the FBI, conspired to fund the dossier put together by a British spy using phony Russian intel. That's it. In order to harm Donald Trump, then just a candidate running for president. So this has been going on for a long time. And that's why I want to address what the last caller said by reading something from a friend of mine here in Northeast Ohio. A friend of mine named Tom Zawistowski. He's the president of the We the People Convention, and he's the president and founder of the Portage County, Ohio Tea Party. And as the leader of the We the People Convention, Tom sent this message out earlier today that I feel like it's important to share with the country. So a little national love for you here, Tom Z, for this message. The last caller said, Bob, I didn't watch it today. I tried, and I lasted however long he said before I turned on, what did he say, what network? The We Net? No, not the We Network, whatever network he said. He said, and I watched the Beverly Hillbillies instead. He said, I'm not going to watch it anymore either because I can't stand it. And that takes me to what Tom Z sent to all of his friends and followers at the We the People Convention. He wrote this. The headline is, Don't Watch This Travesty. It's in a newsletter. Shame on Fox News and all the other media outlets who are doing wall-to-wall coverage of this phony impeachment hearing and giving credence and exposure to this illegal coup attempt. Credit to Salem Media for not giving free airtime to this travesty. And I know some of the shows, you know, clicked in for a little while today. I know Dennis did. I'm not sure if Dr. Gorka did or not. Some people clicked in and listened into a little bit. And, of course, some of us, like me, are playing for you some of the highlights. But the point remains here. Rather than letting this air wall to wall the way it is in some places, why would you and American citizens take your time to willingly watch and listen to people whose sole purpose is to intentionally lie to you about the President of the United States? Don't worry, plenty of journalists on both sides of the political spectrum will provide the highlights and lowlights, that's what I'm doing, and the spin, to tell you what they think happens today and this week. Let me save you and them some time. Nothing that happens this week in this phony kangaroo court, illegitimate hearing, is important. How can anything they say be considered important when there is no fairness, no due process, no rule of law in any of it? One sick, despicable person, Adam Schiff, is the prosecutor, the judge, and the jury in this staged bastardization of American values that we revere. Fundamental fairness and the rule of law. This political theater is exactly the same propaganda techniques that Hitler used to gain power in Germany and Stalin used to rule over Russia. We will not stand for this in the United States. So instead of watching or listening to this nonsense, take action to protect and defend your individual liberty and freedom. Pick up the phone right now and call or write to the U.S. Department of Justice and tell them you demand equal justice under the law and that you demand they bring charges against the people who are so blatantly undermining our electoral process, our Constitution, and the functioning of our federal government. Then grab your Trump sign from 2016 or your Trump flag or just make up a handmade sign and put it back out in your yard or in the window of your home and show your neighbors that you do support your president and you are not afraid to show it. I got to tell you, Tom Z, I agree with you. And I will also say that were I just an average citizen, and what I mean by that, of course, is just that I have public figure status to the extent that I have. If I was just a regular voter, I would not be watching any of this. I concur with your assessment. I am watching it as much as I can take because my job is to let you vent about it on programs like this, on my program in Cleveland in the mornings and here on the Larry Elder Show when given the opportunity. So I will watch it, but I highly recommend that people follow Larry Elder's advice, or excuse me, Tom Zawistowski's advice there, and not give this credence, not give this any of your time. Nor attention. All right, Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Bill, you are on the Larry Elder Show. It's Bob France sitting in. Go ahead, Bill.
You had a man on last week who wrote a book about the Trayvon Martin shooting, and you got that all wrong.
I'll tell you what, Bill. There may be another time to talk about that, but that time is not now. As much as I say I don't want to spend, you know, wall-to-wall time on the impeachment hearings, this is the time for that. This is the time for that. There may be another time to talk about that, that story. I disagree with you, by the way, because the independent filmmaker who made that film did the research and got it all right. He is absolutely spot on, but we'll talk about that another time. Let me save this time for callers who do want to talk about the show that is going on in D.C., the attempted coup d'etat to remove President Donald Trump from power, and what we as Americans can do about it. We are guest-free on the program today or tonight, depending on where you are and where and what time you are listening. So we want your phone calls. That's why we cleared the decks. All you, 888-971-SAGE. Right back to you next on The Larry Elder Show.
Call The Larry Elder Show now at 888-971-SAGE. That's 888-971-7243.
I like singing under the stars.
Welcome back to the Larry Elder Show.
21 minutes after the hour. Thanks again for joining us. Bob France sitting in for the Sage of South Central with a reminder, if you're looking for a movie to hit this week or this weekend, No Safe Spaces is what you're looking for. It opened in Phoenix, became the second best-selling documentary in history, trailing Michael Moore's Sicko. Then it opened a second weekend in San Diego and Denver, finished number two in both theaters, behind Terminator. What's the Terminator budget? $300 million? Probably. What's a No Safe Spaces budget? I don't know, $250? Probably, something like that. But at any rate, it's not what it costs to make. It's the message behind it. And this film is being praised by both the left and the right for being fair and looking at the ultra-important issue of free speech from all sides. The film has a number of conservative heroes in it, Ben Shapiro and Coulter Jordan Peterson. They all make appearances and many others. It's rolling out across America in the weeks ahead. Needs your support. Go to nosafespaces.com/theaters and find out where it's playing and go support this wonderful movie. Going to go right back to your phone calls at 888-971-SAGE after we hear a little bit more of Congressman Jim Jordan, the Gatling gun, the hired gun by Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, brought on to the Intelligence Committee specifically for reasons like this.
Just to recap, you had three meetings with President Zelensky. No linkage in those three meetings came up. Ambassador Zelensky didn't announce that he was going to do any investigation of the Bidens or Burisma before the aid was released. He didn't do a tweet, didn't do anything on CNN, didn't do any of that. President Zelensky, excuse me.
Right.
And then what you have in front of you is an addendum that Mr. Sondland made to his testimony that we got a couple weeks ago. Says declaration of Ambassador Gordon Sondland. I, Gordon Sondland, do hereby swear and affirm as follows. I want you to look at point number two, bullet point number two, second sentence. Ambassador Taylor recalls that Mr. Morrison told Ambassador Taylor that I told Mr. Morrison that I conveyed this message to Mr. Yarmak on September 1st, 2019, in connection with Vice President Pence's visit to Warsaw and a meeting with President Zelensky. Now, this is his clarification. Let me read it one more time. Ambassador Taylor recalls that Mr. Morrison told Ambassador Taylor that I told Mr. Morrison that I conveyed this message to Mr. Yarmak on September 1st, 2019, in connection with Vice President Pence's visit to Warsaw and a meeting with President Zelensky. We got six people having four conversations in one sentence, and you just told me this is where you got your clear understanding. Which, I mean, even though you had three opportunities with President Zelensky for him to tell you, you know what? We're going to do these investigations to get the aid. Didn't tell you three different times. Never makes an announcement. Never tweets about it. Never does a CNN interview. Ambassador, you weren't on the call, were you? The president, you didn't listen on President Trump's call and President Zelensky's call?
I did not.
You've never talked with Chief of Staff Mulvaney?
I never did.
You never met the president?
That's correct.
You had three meetings again with Zelensky and it didn't come up.
And two of those they had never heard about as far as I know.
And President
there was no reason for it.
President Zelensky never made an announcement. This is what I can't believe. And you're their star witness. You're their first witness.
Mr.
You're the
Jordan.
Guy. You're the guy based on this, based on, I mean, I've seen church prayer chains that are easier to understand than this. Ambassador Taylor recalls that Mr. Morrison told, now again, this is, I hereby swear and affirm from Gordon Sondland. Ambassador Taylor recalls that Mr. Morrison told Ambassador Taylor that I told Mr. Morrison and I conveyed this message to Mr. Yarmak on September 1st, 20. This all happens, by the way. This all happens, by the way, in Warsaw, where Vice President Pence meets with President Zelensky. And guess what?
Taylor,
they didn't talk about any linkage either.
Time of the gentleman's expired. Ambassador Taylor, would you like to respond?
The only response, I have two responses, Mr. Chairman, thank you, and Mr. Jordan, glad to take those questions. Let me just say that I don't consider myself a star witness for anything.
They do. You don't.
No,
they
I don't.
Do.
I'm responding to your questions.
So is there a pretty good reason that Kevin McCarthy brought Jim Jordan over to the Intelligence Committee? I mean, what were we up to there? About fifth or sixth hand knowledge? The whistleblower didn't have first hand knowledge. The whistleblower had second or third hand knowledge at best. And the man that they're bringing as number one, witness number one, to impeach the president is an ambassador that got it like sixth hand, as Gordon Sondland said. You just heard it from Jordan again and again and again. Ambassador Taylor recalls that Mr. Morrison told Ambassador Taylor that I told Mr. Morrison, and I conveyed this message to Mr. Yarmak, and then he said, and he told 10 people, and he told 10 people. I mean, honestly, it is a comedy. This is your star witness, and you just heard Ambassador Taylor say, I'm not a star witness for anything. Well, the Democrats think you are. The Democrats think you're their ace in the hole. That's why they started with you. And what Jordan did exposed the entire thing. I mean, in all truthfulness, he exposed the entire thing. They are trying desperately to find some way to prove that what Donald Trump did was A, wrong, that's not provable, B, illegal, that's not provable, and C, even if wrong and illegal, even if we stipulate that maybe the president was inartful in his language and in his conversation with President Zelensky, and that it was maybe wrong to even bring up the name Biden in some way, shape, or form. Even if we stipulate that maybe that was a breach of protocol, it is by no means and in no way even remotely conceivably impeachable. If anything, maybe they want to pass a motion to censure the president for suggesting such a thing. But the truth of the matter, friends, is that he was not inappropriate in bringing up the question of Ukrainian corruption before we send them, what was it going to be for this particular time around, $400 to $500 million, about $500 million of U.S. taxpayer dollars. That's your money coming out of your paycheck and mine to give to a government that has a history of corruption. A government whose full, you know, the full scope. There's an article on thenation.com that ran 2 months ago, September 24th, that I think lays this out. The full scope of Ukraine's impact on the 2016 election has yet to be determined and has yet to be examined. Vulnerabilities in U.S. election security need attention, and Ukraine's 2016 impact could be instructive. Not Russia's. Ukraine's 2016 election impact could be instructive. Add that, if you will, to this article in Politico from 2017, in which they question and correctly raise the point that Ukraine was interfering with our election in the same manner that the allegations were that the Russians were interfering, but on behalf of, not of Donald Trump, of Hillary Clinton. They preferred Hillary Clinton to Donald Trump. So Ukraine had a role in some capacity in trying to meddle in the 2016 elections. I'm old enough to remember when that used to matter to Democrats, when they used to be upset about somebody meddling in our election. Ukraine had a role in meddling in the election. Donald Trump says, I want to know about that. And I want to know if there's anything else going on here with the corrupt companies like Burisma running the show and using their offices and your offices to access favors in the United States of America. President Trump was perfectly justified in asking those questions. Back to your calls right after this on The Larry Elder Show.
You're listening to The Larry Elder Show. Welcome back to the Larry Elder Show.
Yes, indeed. 26 minutes before the top of the hour. Thanks for joining us live in the ReliefFactor.com studios. The AM 1420 The Answer, that's my home base in Cleveland, Ohio. Bob France sitting in for Larry, who's in Houston giving a speech tonight. He will be back tomorrow. Or tomorrow day. Again, I get into that Eastern time zone thing, wherever you might be listening. He will be back tomorrow. So thanks so much for being with us. So Yeah, new testimony, same old hearsay. During his testimony today, Ambassador William Taylor offered up hearsay of hearsay about a reported call with the president and Gordon Sondland. He testified about a call one of his staff members reportedly eavesdropped on between the president and Sondland. Taylor claimed that he heard from the other staff member that they overheard the president mention, quote, the investigations, end quote, to Sondland. That call reportedly took place on July 26th, the day after the president's call with Zelensky on the 25th. The president mentioned those issues during his July 25th call with Zelensky, of course. Of course, he would mention it to Sondland the day after. What's the big deal? The new snippet makes no mention whatsoever, though, of any alleged quid pro quo or bribery. And even if the hearsay account was true, no one was obviously very concerned about it since they just reported it. Not only was Taylor not on the call with the president and Sondland, but the person relaying the account to Taylor wasn't on the call either. Hearsay of hearsay of hearsay. House Democrats have based this entire sham on what amounts to a game of telephone. If you remember that from when you were younger. All right, let's go to the phones. We're going to want to go next to, let me take a look and see who's been being the most patient here. I do believe it's Casey calling from Sacramento, California. Second call from Sacramento on this program. Good to have you here, Casey. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing? You know, I'm in California. I've been here all my life. I love it here. And I wouldn't even get started on Gavin Newsom. But why don't they fire these people? Why are we stuck with these people year after year after year? They're so wrong. They're so corrupt. They don't want to do anything for us working people. All they want to do is take care of themselves and their families. Not there's anything wrong with that. But not the way they do it. Why can't we get rid of them? Why isn't somebody storming the castle and saying, you have to go? I don't know. Term limits. I don't know. How about you're the worst? How about help the people that are homeless? How about help the people that go out and work every day? How about some of the ideas of the president aren't that bad? You may not like it personally, but that doesn't matter. You know, I think he's doing a great job because he's trying to help me. He's trying to help me. Why are we stuck with them? Who can help us here?
How does it feel to know that you are helpless? And what I mean by that is you've said you're in California, you've been your whole life, and you know that no matter how many times, well, I don't want to sound like a Democrat here and say how many times you can vote for the president because you can only vote once unless you are a Democrat, but no matter how much you support the president, no matter how much you might support getting rid of people like Nancy Pelosi in San Francisco or getting rid of people like Kamala Harris or getting rid of other, you know, liberal Democrats who are doing this, not to mention, you mentioned Governor Gavin Newsom, you're in such a tiny minority. I have to tell you, Casey, I feel bad for you, and I can't imagine how helpless you must feel knowing that you can cast your vote for the right people all the time, but you are going to be way outnumbered, and everything is going to remain the same in your state.
Well, I tell you what, I was raised down in Oakland in the Bay Area as a young man, and it's changed a lot. And I'm going to stay here until I die because I love California. And I just hope and pray that the president will not give up on us. Please stick with it. Stick with the fight. We got your back, Mr. President. And I hope this charade ends soon because, you know, Nancy Pelosi had to transfer billions of dollars of our tax money to fund this thing. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. No, you're 100% right. And by the way, Casey, you're a better man than I am if you're going to be willing to stay in California your whole life and live under those laws, those taxes, those fuel costs, everything that you are dealing with the liberal agenda that is advanced in your town, in Sacramento, in the capital, for crying out loud, by the governor and by the state assembly there. I tell you what, there are millions and millions of people in California who are fleeing because they know they cannot survive long term here, especially if they're younger and they want to raise a family. You cannot survive long term in California, and they are fleeing. And I'll tell you what, you're the kind of person that I would highly recommend find a better place, because what's happening is, sadly, the liberals who support Newsom and the rest of the leftist agenda in California that we always rail about, those individuals are the ones who can't afford to stay there, so they leave and they go to places like Texas, and then they start voting for the same type of people who brought them what they just escaped in California. We need more people with conservative mindsets to get out of that state and go into a place where you can cast your vote and have it count. Bob Franson for Larry Elder, right back after this.
You're listening to The Larry Elder Show.
It's the both of them. You see, it's in the blood. Both kids are good and wrong. Blood's thicker than the mud.
All across America, The Larry Elder Show.
Grooving through the night or through the day, wherever you may be, 16 minutes before the top of the hour. Thanks for being with us. When you're done grooving and you're all hot and sweaty and it's time to take a shower and get yourself cleaned up a little bit, don't you want to feel comfortable when you get out of that shower? Well, guess what? My Pillow is going to help make that happen for you. See, Mike Lindell realized bath towels, they just weren't cutting the mustard anymore. They didn't seem to dry you. They feel soft and lotiony in the stores, but you get them home, and they don't absorb anything. It just pushes the water away. You end up with a puddle on the ground. He found it in about 2006, Mike Lindell did. Towels changed forever. They started importing everything, including the cottons and a bunch of other things, you know, softeners from overseas that made the towels kind of feel good, but they didn't work. So he figured, I got to fix this. He found the way. The best towel company was right here in the USA. He added their proprietary technology to create towels that are soft and comfortable, but actually work, and that are absorbent, all with 100% USA cotton. And they come with his signature 60-day money-back guarantee. Get your MyPillow towels now. Six-piece set, two bath, two hand towels, and two wash towels with 30% off when you use Larry Elder's promo code. Just go to MyPillow.com, click on the new radio listener specials, get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including these fantastic new towels. Enter the promo code ELDER or call 800-890-1843 for these great radio specials. And again, use the promo code ELDER. All right, Bob Franson for Larry. Once again, let's go back to the phones, and we will talk next to, I believe this is Joe, who's in New York City on AM 4, or excuse me, I almost gave my home digits in Cleveland, but on the Larry Elder Show. Joe, go right ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, good evening. You know, Representative Devin Nunes, he hit the nail right on the head when he stated that this entire fiasco, this entire subversion of our legal system is the result of a media orchestrated campaign. That's exactly what it is. Now, with that being said, it is absolutely critical that the American public knows exactly who these people are who own our media. I'm talking about the Viacoms, the Comcasts, the Disneys, etc., and so forth. And there's one article. It's called Who Rules America, and it details exactly who these corporations are, what their agenda is, what their corporate ownership is, because it's absolutely vital to understand that these are the people who actually wield political power in the United States. Again, you have to Google it specifically, Who Rules America, AMFIR. Who Rules America, AMFIR, because otherwise Google won't let you access the document. They do everything they can to hide it. And that being said, you know, basically, as long as the people who control the media have inordinate influence over the disproportionate majority of the electorate, we're never going to vote ourselves out of this mess. As long as the ultra-liberal, ultra-Marxist policymakers behind the media cameras and the TV cameras, as long as they control that mechanism of controlling public opinion, we're not going to get out of this mess through the electoral process. So that being said, you should not lose hope, because I want you to remember that this country was not born out of the electoral process. You know, it's a lot of patriots got together. They pledged to each other their lives, their sacred honor, and their fortunes to establish a new republic here in the Western Hemisphere. And I'm afraid that's exactly how this republic is going to have to be reborn. Because the only way to tear the parasites off of our backs who are in the media, the academy, and in government is to basically deny them a monopoly on the use of force. And that's why it is so fundamental that we maintain our Second Amendment rights. And that's exactly why we have a Second Amendment, to do two things. Number one, defend yourself against the hordes of criminals in our deteriorating society. and more importantly, to defend our country against a tyrannical government like the one we have in Washington, D.C., which, and the politicians that are on both sides of the aisle, Republican and Democrat,
right,
are essentially prostitutes for the men who control the mass media. And again,
well, Joe, I want to tell you this. I'm going to jump in so I get some other people on the air. I pulled it up, and I want to thank you because you've given me my next reading assignment, and I do have it in front of me right now. It actually came up as a PDF. It'll take you right to a 23-page long PDF, and I cannot wait to read this. And I want to thank you, Joe, also listening on AM 970, by the way, there in New York City. I want to thank you for proving my point that I said at the top of each of the last 2 hours, and that is that I love doing the Larry Elder Show because I love this audience, because I learn so much. I learn as much as I'm able to teach on a program like this with an audience this vast and this diverse and this intelligent. So thank you. You just proved the point. I'm going to read that very closely. It does look, well, equal parts fascinating and terrifying, to be quite frank. All right, let's go next to Surprise, Arizona. That's where Dave is hanging out listening to the Larry Elder Show. Bob France sitting in for Larry. Go right ahead, Dave.
Appreciate the opportunity, Bob. Hey, I want to mention, too, the Safe Spaces promo came up. I was honored. I got to see the premiere here in Phoenix with Dennis Prager in the auditorium. It was great.
That's awesome.
Everybody needs to get out and watch it.
Amen to that.
It's a great movie. It, like you said with your last caller, interesting and terrifying all at the same time, the way they've taken over the campuses.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. And that's what the movie is all about, you know, primarily campuses. But you know what's really terrifying, Dave, if I may? It's so starting before that now. It is so starting at the high school level and at the junior high level and, quite frankly, in the elementary or primary schools as well, where they are teaching kids that there are some things that you are not allowed to say. And I'm not talking about the accepted things like the N-word or the F-bomb or those kinds of things. But if you say something that might hurt somebody else's feelings, you are in trouble. And that and each person, of course, decides for themselves what hurts their feelings. It is a very dangerous track that we are on right now. It's manifesting itself in the campuses. But it is starting. It's originating much, much earlier.
Well, you and I both know the reason they want to take away free speech is because that's how they control your thoughts.
Oh, 100%. Agree 100%. Yeah. And I'll give you another example of that, Dave. You know, we heard probably late last week, I guess it was, that one of Kamala Harris's new ideas on her platform for her flagging and failing campaign is to keep kids in school for up to 10 hours a day. Have you heard this, right? Keep kids in school till around 6 p.m. And it's ostensibly in her argument to increase their opportunities for learning, but it's also to make things easier on parents' schedules because they're working in the middle of the day and they can't pick up their kids at 3 o'clock, blah, blah, blah. But the bottom line is the more hours a day your kids spend in school, the more they're being raised by the state and less by the parents. That's what it's all about. Thanks so much for a great phone call. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Larry Elder Show.
Slipping, dodging, sneaking, peeping, hiding out down the street.
And you know, you have many, many different options on how to experience the Larry Elder Show. One of them is on the local Larry Elder affiliate near you, a Salem Radio affiliate. Another would be through your smart speaker. Just tell it to listen to whatever that station near you might be. For me, I always say, hey, Alexa, play AM 1420, The Answer. Actually, it's The Answer Cleveland is what you say. And another way is with Larry Elder Television. On TV, kind of, sort of, by way of the website. Go to LarryElder.com right now, and you can watch the show there. We try to keep it relevant and current based on what we're playing and what we're listening to at the time. And also great articles to be read, great audio segments of Larry to be found on the website as well. Stay up to date on the news. Subscribe to Larry's newsletter. That's all there as well. And, of course, become an Eldorado, all at LarryElder.com. All right, back to the phones. We're going to go to Florida. That's where Dennis is waiting and listening on the Larry Elder Show. Hey, Dennis, it's Bob France sitting in for Larry. Go right ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, Bob. So nice to talk to you. I loved when you fell in.
Thank you.
What I told your screener, what I said to him was, remember the movie Few Good Men, Jack Nicholson,
of course,
and Tom Cruise?
Sure.
Great movie. Anyway, near the end of that movie, Tom Cruise's law partner said to him, if you can't get him to admit it, drop it. Otherwise, you're going to wind up being court-martialed. Now, that scenario, can that be turned on Adam Schiff and be brought up in the Ethics Committee and him thrown out of Congress, hopefully? Can that happen?
Well, you know, the irony of that is, it's the irony of that is that it's Adam Schiff who is threatening ethics investigations of Republicans who try to attack or intimidate or criticize the whistleblower. I don't know if you saw that or not, but in yesterday's letter or memorandum sent from the chair of the Intel Committee to the Republicans, he said that anybody that attempts to intimidate or criticize the whistleblower will be subject to ethics committee investigations. So, he is what a previous caller or emailer or somebody referenced, the judge, jury, and executioner here of everything. And to my knowledge, to answer your question more directly, no, I don't believe anybody can be brought up on ethics violations or charges for failing to impeach a president that they sought to impeach. Because if they could, then nobody would probably undertake that. Maybe that's something we'd like to actually see moving forward. But it's my understanding, Dennis, that no, he can't be brought up on charges or investigated in such a way. But I do appreciate the phone call. Got plenty of time for more phone calls. Next hour is also guest-free. We wanted to clear the lines for you so that you can be heard on what you heard today from Capitol Hill as the coup d'etat got underway, finally, in a public forum after weeks of cloaked basement hearings. And hour number three is coming up right here on The Larry Elder.
You're listening to The Larry Elder Show.